Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild perpitude, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, dizzy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. This storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. This is American Renegade. I'm your host, Art Underground. It is May 14th, 2020. Hard to believe we're already the fifth month of the year. Where did the time go? Seems like, you know, I remember when I was young, it seemed like it took forever for one day to pass. Now it seems like the day's over and I'm thinking, damn, didn't I just get out of bed? But, you know, I guess, you know, hey, time flies when you're having fun, right? anyway, welcome, everyone. A lot going on in the news. Things are happening so fast, it's almost impossible to keep up. I mean, it's just, you know, I remember people like, you know, Farron Shoaf and Steve O'Brien and RZ on Spreaker and you know, so many other people in the alternative media, or what I like to deem, you know, the alternate media. And I would say people in alternate media would be people like RZ and Suzette from Suzette Live Talk, you know, people that are doing these broadcasts where, you know, we don't get paid. We don't make any money on what we do, which means we have no one to answer to. Because we don't get a paycheck, like, you know, people on other networks, like, I know, Rush Limbaugh and Alex Jones and Glenn Beck, I know they pretty much self-promote themselves, but they make millions of dollars. They're worth millions of dollars. And they're part of, you know, they can call themselves whatever they want. They're part of mainstream media. But when you have like certain people like Farron Shoaf, Steve O'Brien, people like that are on like Republic Broadcasting, that's not mainstream media. And I consider them to be alternative media. But then people like me and RZ and Suzette from Suzette Live Talk, Vito and all of them that are on Spreaker and other various different outlets, none of us get paid to do what we do. I like to consider us the alternate to the alternative media. So we're like the alternate media. And again, you know, because we don't make money, we're nobody's paying us. We're not obliged to what's the word I'm looking for? There's no topic that's off limits to us. We can go anywhere we want to because we don't owe any allegiance to a paycheck. And since we don't have sponsors and stuff like that, we don't have anybody telling us, well, if you talk about these things, we won't sponsor you. Which is why you'll never hear Alex Jones speak against Israel. You'll never hear Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh say anything bad about Israel because they have to worry about upsetting their sponsors. We don't have to worry about that because we don't have sponsors. Nobody pay. We, in fact, we pay to do what we do. And that's what gives us a little bit more credibility because we don't have any allegiances or obligations to anyone else. So we can owe our allegiance and our loyalties to the truth. And news is happening so fast right now. I mean, we've got Richard Burr, Senator Richard Burr. He's now basically calling it a temporary resignation. But several weeks ago, or actually when this whole coronavirus thing first started, I remember seeing an article talking about some members of Congress had, you know, amazingly, whoa, just coincidence, their timing, because they were selling stocks almost as if they had like some inside information, you know, insider trading is what they call it. So now he's stepping down because he's being investigated for possible insider trading. This, you know, and I saw this coming when it first, you know, when this whole coronavirus thing first broke in January, and we saw the first articles which questioned some members of Congress who coincidentally just happened to sell a bunch of stocks, which raised a bunch of questions. Now we have the investigations 5 months later. It's amazing how slow these people are. We've got talk now about, you know, when is it going to be safe to open up the schools, and vitamin D could be linked to the COVID-19 mortality, you know, where they're saying deficiencies in so-called sunshine vitamin D, can lead to problems like bone issue and hair loss and can compromise the immune system and therefore make you more susceptible to COVID-19, which, you know, that sounds pretty credible. You know, we know that if you have a lack of certain vitamins like vitamin C, you can develop scurvy, for example. Or is that rickets? But anyway, you know, so there, you know, it does sound plausible that a vitamin D deficiency, lowering the immune system, having a negative impact on the immune system, could compromise the immune system. Sure, why not? I don't see how it's impossible. But now the big one, the one that really caught my attention was this new $3 trillion relief package that Democrats are trying to push. Well, actually, they're kind of holding it up, to be honest. They're like, but they had this wish list. And I get these newsletters pretty regular. I get them like 2 and 3 times a day. And I wanted to share one with you because it strikes right at the heart of what I'm talking about with regard to the relief packages. And we'll get to the issues of the evening here shortly, but I felt this pretty important. I want to read you the newsletter here. Nancy Pelosi left-wing wish list. If House Democrats are focused on helping Americans get through this global pandemic safely, they sure have a funny way of showing it. Speaker Nancy Pelosi's latest extravagant $3 trillion spending proposal is Washington at its worst and most predictable. While President Trump, governors of both parties, and frontline workers band together to fight this virus as one country, House Democrats see an opportunity to exploit this crisis to pass their partisan agenda. Millions of Americans are out of work. President Trump is trying to get them back on the job by safely reopening our country. Instead of helping him do it, here's what Democrats in Congress have decided is worth holding coronavirus relief hostage for. And there are four very specific things that the Democrats insist on if they are to vote on a new package. The first one is a ban on information about how low-cost health insurance. Yeah, that's right. House Democrats want to forbid the government from sharing any information with you about lower-cost health options, such as association plans, short-term plans, and even as families are trying to cope with job and wage losses, Speaker Pelosi doesn't want them to learn about options that are up to 60% cheaper than Obamacare. Why? Because she is a universal health care person. That's why during the whole Affordable Care Act debate, before they passed legislation, there was the big debate about whether or not people should be allowed to buy insurance across state lines. If you live in Tennessee and you find an insurance company in Kentucky willing to offer you a plan better than anything you find in your own state of Tennessee and cheaper, no, but you can't do that. You have to buy in the state that you live in. So that was one of the things that they were against. And that's, again, that's what this ban on information is all about. The second one is a mass voting by mail. Now, a coronavirus relief bill may seem like the wrong time to place a dictate on how states run their elections, but Democrats disagree. They want mail-in ballots. Why? Because it's easy to manipulate that one. Oh, sorry, your ballot must have got lost in the mail. We never received your ballot. See how that works? They are using this coronavirus thing as an excuse to usher in a new way of voting. And by doing this, they can therefore take the next step to eliminate the Electoral College. Because remember, AOC and many others have already come out and said, we need to do away with the Electoral College and go straight to the popular vote. Yeah, so here's a sneaky way of doing that. Then the third one, they want stimulus checks for illegal aliens. Instead of protecting American citizens by requiring a Social Security number for taxpayer-funded stimulus, Pelosi's bill would give illegal immigrants the ability to receive up to $1,200 in direct payouts. You know, it's a damn shame when people like me, I'm still waiting on my $1,200 from the first damn package they passed. But we had idiot mayors and whatever in Illinois. Yep, we're going to give illegals however much money it was. Governor Newsom out there in California, he made arrangements for illegals to get stimulus money. Meanwhile, you got people like me. I'm still waiting, and I've been talking. Since the other day when I told you about how I talked to over 100 people from in town and when I went to the food pantries to talk to people, and I like to go out and talk to people and get their perspective on things so I can come back and tell you what people in my area are saying. Since the other, I guess it was Sunday when I talked about, I talked to over 100 people just in a week, and I'd only found one person. In fact, in the 2 months, since the 1st of April, since they first passed that $2.2 trillion, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, and I've only found one that got their check. And she has worked every day, and she works at a bank. Amazing people working at the banks got their checks. But I ain't found nobody else that got one. I had a doctor appointment yesterday at the Augusta Pain Center where I go for treatments on my lower back. And they're talking about now I might have to go in for surgery on my lower back because I've got severe spinal stenosis. And it's causing me some serious problems with my left leg and my hips. Nobody working there has got their stimulus check. None of the patients I talked to have got theirs. None of the people at the pharmacy that I go to, none of them got theirs. I've talked to a couple hundred people since Sunday, and not one of them got their check. But Pelosi and them, they want stimulus for illegal aliens. Then the fourth one, the fourth and final holdout that they got is for bailouts for the government. They want more. The Democrats want more than $1 trillion in cash for state and local governments, mostly in the form of unrestricted aid that does not need to be used to offset coronavirus costs. Meaning, states can use that money for whatever they want. I bet you it's just going to kind of disappear into somebody's personal coffers. They also threw in a $25 billion bailout for the post office. But here's the thing. The post office can't get that money unless they increase the price of their packages and start charging Amazon more to ship. There's I tell you what, I've got another article here on the on this, and this comes out of the Federalist.com. And I'm not going to read the whole article. I'm just going to read part of it. But you can go to the Federalist.com, and you'll do a search. They have a search bar there. Do a search for Democrats' new $3 trillion coronavirus spending wish list, and you'll find it. Believe me. Democrats released a laughable new coronavirus spending bill Tuesday that would rain trillions in future taxpayer money on already bloated and incompetent federal government. More than anything else, it's proof Democrats are an unserious party unfit to govern at all, let alone in a time of crisis. The bill was initially dubbed CARES 2 Act and rapidly renamed the HEROES Act, as if it's heroic to dump other people's money out the window after taking it at gunpoint, basically, and would expand by billions of dollars the spending of just about every government agency, most of which Americans don't even know exists, and very few of which have anything to do with treating the disease. While 33 million Americans are out of work and taking handouts from their own children or anyone else that they can reach out to just to make ends meet, House Democrats would give billions more dollars to bureaucrats who already have much higher salaries, benefits, and job security than comparable private sector workers. This is despicable. This should not be allowed. And isn't it funny? All of these jackasses in Washington, they still get their paychecks every month. Football players. Now, they have to play in order to get paid, but basketball players get paid whether they play or not. And so we got professional basketball players telling us, nope, it's too soon to open. Everybody needs to stay home. Isn't it interesting? Everybody that wants this lockdown, stay-at-home bullshit to continue are people who continue to get their checks on time, their paychecks, without interruption. This is ridiculous. Should not be allowed. Again, go to the Federalist.com and just do a search in the search bar for Democrats' new $3 trillion coronavirus spending wish list and read for yourself. I see Hamestrap in the chat room. How's it going, brother? Have you had a chance to check out the Clade X exercises? At this point, I want to remind everybody, Clade X, C-L-A-D-E, space, X, Clade X. It's a four-part exercise. It took place in 2018. You remember me telling you about the Event 201 exercise that took place in October last year. Well, in 2018, I believe it was March 2018, they had another pandemic exercise called Clade X, four-part exercise, and you can find the videos on YouTube. Go check them out. Watch them. If you want to be a part of the roundtable on Sunday, you need to email me, oneamericanrenegade@gmail.com. Tell me you want to be a part of the roundtable. And there's going to be four Sundays in a row starting this Sunday. And so the more people that want to be on the roundtable, what I'll have to do is I'll have to have some people this Sunday, some people the next Sunday, some people. But if I only get two or three people that want to do it, hell, you can be on every Sunday. All depends on how many people respond. So far, nobody's responded. And I'm surprised. and a little bit disappointed. If you can take the time to listen to people like me and RZ and Suzette and such as that, why can't you take some time to join us on Skype and do a roundtable? And actually let us hear your thoughts. The reason I want to do the roundtable is because I want to hear your opinions on this and have a real conversation. All right, so let's get to the supposed agenda, if you will, for this evening's broadcast. The $3 trillion spending package, that was part of it. But I think I gave you enough to at least get you going there. Again, it's at thefederalist.com, and it is just absolutely amazing. Now, the police state seems to be tightening its grips, or at least trying. Remember in Michigan, we had we've got all of these protests going on, armed protesters exercising their First Amendment rights. Legally, by the way, and lawfully. You know, I don't really care much about legal. Legal kiss my ass. What I care about is lawful. Lawful is under the Constitution. Legal is maritime law. And I really ain't too overly thrilled about maritime law since I happen to live on land, not on the sea. Be that as it may, these protesters that are armed in Michigan exercising their Second Amendment right and doing it lawfully, the protests we see now taking place in Iowa, in California, Texas. I've heard that there are some that have happened in Kentucky. I know of at least one that's taken place in North Carolina. This is happening at exponential rates, and I'm just tickled pink about it. But, you know, after we have Shelley Luther in Dallas, Texas, who actually was arrested and put in jail for opening her salon so that she and her workers could feed their children. And when she stood there and she told that judge, she said, the judge is insisting, we'll do this if you're willing to admit that you were wrong and that your actions put other people in danger and blah, blah, blah. Now, this wasn't about her being wrong or insensitive to other people. This was about her defying his dictate because he's the one that issued the order for her to shut down. Okay? He's the one. And I had people come out and go, he did being a racist. No. And we're like, well, I bet you if that was a black woman and that happened to a black woman, they'd be screaming racism. Well, actually, no, that wouldn't be possible due to the fact that that judge is a black man. Well, I wonder if maybe he wasn't being just a little bit racist. I'm just saying, but I thought it was beautiful when she said, I'm not going to apologize because I haven't done anything wrong. And if you think that your law, which really isn't a law, it's an edict. It is a tyrannical edict that he wanted to try to impose upon somebody. But she said, if you think that your orders or whatever are more important than me and my staff feeding our children, then you do whatever you feel you need to do. And he ordered the bailiff to take her into custody. Of course, the lieutenant governor and the governor stepped up and said, hold on, stop that freaking bus, let her out. And they took care of her fine for her. She went back and she opened up shop. She'd been in business since. Then we've got, Carl Mankey in Michigan. Governor Whitmer, she's all kinds of got her panties up in a bunch because everybody's defying her. We ain't staying home. And she's like, you're not wearing your masks at these protests. You're endangering people. The people at the protest are not wearing masks because they're not buying your bullshit. And the only people they're in danger is themselves. Tighten her grip. but she just can't get it going. Then, you know, and then we go, oh, out to L.A. Oh, this is just rich. In fact, I've got a clip. I hope I still, yes, I still have it in the queue. This is just rich. You got to hear this. Los Angeles City Council threatens to commandeer hotels refusing to house the homeless. Are you kidding me? Get a load of this.
The Los Angeles City Council voting to publicly name hotels and even commandeer them for refusing to house the homeless during the pandemic. The Ritz-Carlton is one of those several hotels declining to take in homeless. They say that the building isn't just a hotel. It has over 200 condos that people live in. And joining us now is Art Avanes. He is a broker who manages six of those condos. Hey, Art, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Ainsley.
You're welcome. I'm glad you came on because you are opposing to allow these homeless individuals to come in just during the pandemic. Tell us why specifically.
Yes. So just to start, so Project Room Key is definitely a noble initiative that Mayor Garcetti and the council members have implemented. However, it just doesn't fit with the Ritz-Carlton building for many reasons. The obvious one is obviously it does have a hotel right next to it. I mean, it's the same structure with hotel side and resident side. So it just doesn't make sense. It's a huge concern for all of the homeowners there that live there, some of them full-time, some of them part-time. And keep in mind, the lobby is basically 15 feet apart from the hotel side and the resident side.
Yeah, it sounds like a great plan so that they have an opportunity, the homeless, to social distance and have some shelter for a little while. But how can a government make these hotels, these businesses, do this if they oppose to it, like your company?
You know, well, I'm actually speaking on behalf of several of the homeowners that live there, own units there. I've sold several
of the
units
there. Yeah, what are they saying?
They're all outraged. They've been outraged ever since April 3rd, since this was introduced. We've had protesters outside the building last week. I'm sure if you guys heard about that, that was pretty. A lot of
homeless.
Yeah.
What do you say to the critics that would say Ritz-Carlton, hoity-toity, wealthy, most people can't afford to stay there? What do you say to those critics?
I think that's what they're focusing on, and I don't think anybody would want to be in the same building. It's just strictly a health concern, safety concern. And it's just not possible. I mean, in theory, it sounds great, but in practice, it just can't work for this specific building. There's plenty of hotels in LA that will be more than happy, and some of them are, actually. Some of them are taking in the homeless. They are housing them.
So, Art, what was your reaction when they said commandeer? I mean, that's usually used in military, for military purposes, where they could come in and take possession of the Ritz-Carlton.
Right. I was shocked. We were very, very shocked. A lot of us were shocked. But as of yesterday, Mayor Garcetti did announce at his conference that they decided that they're not really going to be looking at hotels that are charging $500 to $700 a night. They rather stretch the dollar and focus on hotels that are more affordable for the city.
Okay.
So his speech last night kind of makes us feel a little bit better.
Right. Well, you have to stand up for your residents. I see that. They've put 1,600 people in hotels. The city's goal is 15,000. Thanks, Art. We wish you the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
So, you know, it's like, you know, the Ritz-Carlton, come on. You have any idea what it costs per night? And they've got like over 100 people actually live there in condos. I'm sorry, you know, you can't tell. What, you can't tell me that you ain't got a buttload of you know, places like Motel 6, Super 8. You know, they're leaving the lights on for you, okay? And they're a hell of a lot cheaper than the Ritz-Carlton. It's just crazy. And talking about commandeer your hotel. What the flip are you out of your... Oh! But, yeah, back to Michigan. Sorry, I got a little distracted there, and Hamestrap in the chat room is keeping me in line here, wants me to go back to the barber in Michigan, which is where I started when I first started talking about Michigan. I started out talking about Carl Menk, who is 77 years old, owns his barbershop. He's been doing this for, oh, Jesus, close to half a century or better. And this is what he does. He's raised a family doing this. And, you know, they're coming out talking about, you know, you got Jarvey. Let me find out who Jarvey is. Jarvey is, let me see, where is it? Trying to find Ryan Jarvey, spokesman for Attorney General Dana Nessel. He comes out, he says, Mr. Menk's actions are not a display of harmless civil disobedience. His actions are counterproductive to the collective effort businesses and communities everywhere have made to slow the spread of COVID-19. And by opening the doors to his business, he's putting the lives of many more Michiganders at risk. But he's got people coming from, since he opened, he's had people coming from Ann Arbor, Detroit, Jackson, Saginaw. He's got people coming from all kinds of cities to his place to get their hair cut because they can't get it done anywhere else. You know, and they're, you know, the Department of Health and Human Services Director Robert Gordon, he ordered Mr. Oswo, the city is Oswo, or Owosso. He ordered Mr. Menk to shut his shop, deeming it imminent danger to public health. The only people that might be in danger are you dumbasses who can't see the truth, you know. But he says, I've lived under, here's what Menk says, I've lived under 14 presidents, and this is the worst depression I've lived under, and I'm not going to live under it. I believe it's my right to work and make my living, and that's what I'm going to do. He refuses to close his doors. Flatly refuses. This is what we need. We need people that are unafraid and show the government, we're not afraid of you. There's a hell of a lot more of us than there are of you, and I guarantee you the military has already chosen its side, and it ain't yours. Because if you decide to come after us, pretty much guarantee you the military ain't going to do it. Now, he says that everybody at work, you know, that works there wears a mask. They wash their hands between every cut. They use ultraviolet sanitizer on all of his tools. So he's actually going out of his way to make it as safe as possible for the people coming in to get their haircut. I see no problem with it. Just like I see no problem with Shelley Luther down in Dallas, Texas, opening her salon. They're wearing masks, they're wearing gloves, they're sanitizing everything, and you're going to tell me you go three doors down and a pet grooming shop, they can open up, but a hair salon has to close its doors? Seriously? This is crazy. This is insane. By any definition, Odessa, Texas, a woman that owns a Big Daddy's Bar and Grill. They pull up with an armored vehicle to arrest a bunch of people because she ain't supposed to be opening her bar. What the hell? This is insane. Nuts. Crazy. I don't know. Pick one. what else? Am I missing anything here? Let me see. Did I miss anything? Let me see here. The blame game. Oh yeah, the blame game. This was an article came out yesterday. NBC News. Democrats accuse Republicans of bad faith as they invoke national debt to pause pandemic aid. Top Republicans are invoking concerns about the rising national debt to pump the brakes on coronavirus relief, and Democrats are crying foul. The latest back and forth comes as House Democrats eye a vote as early as Friday on a $3 trillion package that includes aid to state and local governments, assistance for essential workers, an extension of unemployment benefits beyond July, and another round of direct payments for families. And again, I've talked to some, at least since the 1st of April, I bet you I've talked to close to 300 people, and I've only found one that's got their check, their $1,200 check. I know people that have children. They've been out of work for 3 months, and they have children. Still ain't got their relief checks. But yet these idiots want to push another round. And you heard what I told you about the $3 trillion, what Pelosi wants in it. Just those four things. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, told reporters on Tuesday, quote, "We're taking a look at what we've already done. We've added about $3 trillion to the national debt and assessing the effectiveness of that before we decide to go forward. If we reach a decision along with the administration to move to another phase, that'll be the time to interact with Democrats." He said the House bill, quote, "is not something designed to deal with reality, but designed to deal with aspirations, and this is not a time for aspirational legislation." The U.S. budget deficit is projected to rise to a record $3.7 trillion just in the year, fiscal year 2020. According to the Congressional Budget Office, although the U.S. continues to borrow at record low interest rates, Nancy Pelosi said Monday on MSNBC, "Well, it's interesting to see what they're saying, becoming now renewing their fiscal hawk positions can barely remember. I have confidence in going big with what we do. When I saw them give a $2 trillion additional to the national debt in order to give 83% of the benefits to the top 1%, that was so irresponsible in terms of it did nothing for the economy except heap mountains of debt on our children." Well, if $2 trillion, Ms. Pelosi, dumped this big debt on the children, why would you want another $3 trillion? Because remember, it wasn't just that $2.2 trillion CARE Act that you passed last month. There was also that $4 trillion government bailout. You remember that one? And it was because of the Democrats that there was no oversight, which is why Harvard, which has a $41 billion a year endowment, got $9 million freaking dollars. And you remember just a couple weeks ago, I went down the list of all of the colleges and universities and told you how much money they got. It'd take me a minute or two to dig through all my damn archives to find that particular piece, but I could do it and remind you. Just insane. And then they have the nerve. After they're the ones that are holding up because they want stimulus checks for illegal immigrants. They want more government bailouts. This is the Democrats. They don't want any information released They want a ban on releasing information that might save you money on better insurance policies than Obamacare provides. So who's really holding this up, Ms. Pelosi? Who's really the bad guy here? I think Mitch McConnell is right. Let's wait until everybody's got their $1,200 and their $500 per child. States are now starting to open. Maybe we don't need another round. Jeez. If you're looking to join the military, if you hear, for those of you, you young folks that are thinking about the military career, even though you may not have ever shown any kind of symptoms, you might be asymptomatic. Now, even if you're asymptomatic, that means you've been exposed and your body somehow was able to resist it, which is why you didn't get sick. But if you get tested, you're going to test positive. And if you test positive, guess what? The military has a ban on anyone who tests positive for COVID-19. That's right. The Defense Department negotiated its way to do this. According to a memo from MEPCOM, 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 a memo states, quote, during the medical history interview or examination, a history of COVID-19 confirmed by either a laboratory test or a clinician diagnosis is permanent disqualifying. That's right. That's right. Filling in some time here. If anybody wants to call in, 319. Oh, I'm sorry, that's my number. If anybody wants to call in, 215-383-3876. 215-383-3876. Love to hear your thoughts. This is audience participation, you know. New York leaders. This is in a P article. That would be the American Free Press. New York leaders sound the alarm over potential COVID-linked syndrome. New York's Mayor Bill de Blasio on Sunday voiced tremendous concern over an uptick in cases of a pediatric syndrome that scientists suspect could be linked to COVID-19, which has left at least 3 people dead statewide. The mayor said 38 cases of pediatric multisystem inflammatory syndrome detected in New York City, with an additional 9 suspected cases awaiting confirmation. Shortly after, Governor Andrew Cuomo said the state health department was probing 85 potential cases statewide of the syndrome, which exhibits similarities to Kawasaki disease and toxic shock syndrome. One of the deaths was a 5-year-old boy. Howard Zucker, the state's health commissioner, said the others included an elementary school-aged child and an adolescent. The children were not known to have pre-existing conditions and lived in 3 different counties. Symptoms of the illness include persistent fever, rash, abdominal pain, and vomiting, as well as possible inflammation of blood vessels and the heart. According to de Blasio, what it does is basically in a child's body triggers an intensive, almost overwhelming immune system response, and that actually causes harm to the body. That sounds a lot like toxic shock syndrome to me. Ted Cruz, Business Insider. Ted Cruz says San Antonio's decision to label the term Chinese virus as hate speech is nuts. San Antonio City Council in Texas has unanimously voted the label terms, including Chinese virus and Kung Fu virus, is hate speech. Mayor Ron Nirenberg said, unfortunately, during times of crisis, we do see the best of humanity, and sometimes we also see the worst. Senator Ted Cruz called the decision nuts, saying that the city council was, quote, behaving like a lefty college faculty lounge. Some of the tweets that went out over this. Jay Avila says, resolution being voted on by San Antonio City Council this morning labels terms Chinese virus and Kung Fu virus as hate speech, and all persons are encouraged to report any such anti-Semitic, discriminatory or racist incidents to the proper authorities for investigation. Ted Cruz thus responds, this is nuts. San Antonio City Council behaving like lefty college faculty lounge triggered by Chick-fil-A and the words Wuhan virus. If they want to investigate someone, start with the New York Times and CNN, who both repeatedly and rightly referred to it as the Chinese coronavirus. The hate speech resolution, which was put forward by Mayor Ron Nirenberg, was voted through 11-0 by the San Antonio City Council to ensure the safety and well-being of all community members, including the Asian and Jewish communities. What the hell does the Jewish community have to do with a virus that came out of China? Oh. Chuck Baldwin. Everybody knows Chuck Baldwin. And I got time to read this. This is priceless. Chuck Baldwin was the national chaplain for Oath Keepers. Well, he's resigned. And here is his letter. My letter of resignation to Stuart Rhodes, founder and president of Oath Keepers. On April 3, I tender my resignation as national chaplain of Oath Keepers, a position I held since 2013. It was written not out of pleasure, but out of conviction. And here's the letter. Dear Stuart, having read your open letter to state governors regarding the coronavirus, I have no choice but to resign my position as national chaplain of Oath Keepers. The stated purpose of Oath Keepers is to hold accountable those who took the oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, and that includes you. Virtually every recommendation you made in your letters is an egregious violation of our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. No war, no emergency, no sickness, no disease, no man-made or natural attack against us has any bearing against the constitutional protections of our liberties. By resorting to gross fear-mongering and hyperbole, you have joined the mainstream media and big government medical hacks in attacking virtually every constitutionally protected liberty upon which our country was founded. The scenic surrounding COVID-19, or I'm sorry, the science surrounding COVID-19 is mostly guesswork, estimation, projection, speculation, etc., with almost zero accuracy, and even if it wasn't, it wouldn't change the Constitution and the Bill of Rights one iota. I cannot see into your heart to know your motives. Do the feds have something on you, and are you playing ball to stay out of trouble? Have you always been controlled opposition, or do you really support the totalitarian nature of the solutions you are proposing? Only you know the answer to those questions. The one thing I do know is that I can no longer, in good conscience, be formally associated with Oath Keepers. This resignation is effective immediately. You know, I got to say something about Oath Keepers. They're a bunch of pussies. That's right, Stuart Rhodes. I'm calling you a pussy. You and the rest of that jackass clown posse you run with. The way you acted out there at the Bundy Ranch, disgraceful. You know, I had a little spat going with Thomas Lacovara because he promoted you. He propped you up like Oath Keepers was something great, and I tried to tell him the truth about you guys because I'd been involved with you. Yeah. I actually was involved with Oath Keepers for a while, and it didn't take me long to figure out what you clowns are really all about. That's why I left. And I tried to warn Thomas Lacovara about you. He didn't want to listen. He wanted to get all pissy about it. But he learned the truth about you, Stuart Rhodes, when he met you personally out there at the Bundy Ranch, and he saw what you guys did and how you acted and what happened when you left. that's when he realized everything I told him about you was true. You see, I'm all about the truth, and I will out anyone when I find them in need of being outed. Kind of like this jackass Austin Rhodes over here in Augusta with his little talk radio broadcast he does on WGAC. WGAC. Ugh. I get it out here in a minute. Let me see. Yeah, WGAC. Promoting a flower and gift shop. In the commercial, he says, they've undergone all CDC training. I actually called them. That's right. I called the flower and gift shop, and I asked them, have you and your staff gone through all CDC training? No, we haven't. Well, do you know Austin Rhodes is doing a commercial that says you have? Yeah, see, I ain't bashful. I don't give a shit who you are. I'm a little nobody redneck out in the middle of the damn woods in northeast Georgia. I don't get paid and I don't make no money for what I do, which gives me wide berth to go after anybody and everybody getting out of line. And that includes people like Austin Rhodes doing false advertising. What else do we have here? Something I can get to ain't going to take a whole lot of time. Oh, yeah, here's one. This was out of the Washington Examiner last week. Let me see. Where's his name again? Because I can't never remember his name. Where the hell is he? Well, I'll just read part of the article here because we'll get to his name here in a minute. A media veteran who co-founded The Hill, you know, thehill.com, and was an advisor during Politico's pre-launch, said that he doesn't want an investigation into allegations of sexual assault against Joe Biden, but instead he wants a win against President Trump. Martin Tolchin responded to a New York Times editorial board piece from Friday that urged the Democrat National Committee to investigate the allegations that the presumptive Democrat presidential nominee sexually assaulted former aide, Senate aide Tara Reid in 1993. The New York Times editorial board called on the DNC to investigate the matter swiftly and thoroughly and noted, as is so often the case, such situations and all but impossible to be certain of the truth, but the stakes are too high to let the matter fester or leave it to be investigated by an adjutant in the media. Mr. Biden is seeking the national's highest office. Tolchin, who also worked for the New York Times for 40 years, issued a letter to the outlet published Monday and said the investigation to Reid's allegation would only hurt Biden's chance of beating Trump in November. Here's part of the letter to the editor. I totally disagree with this editorial. This is coming from Martin Tolchin. Again, he was co-founder of The Hill and advisor to Politico. I totally disagree with this editorial. I don't want an investigation. I want a coronation of Joe Biden. Would he make a great president? Unlikely. Would he make a good president? Good enough. Or would he make a great president? Unlikely. Would he make a good president? Good enough. Would he make a better president than the president occupant? Absolutely. I don't want justice, whatever that may be. I want to win. The removal of Donald Trump from office and Mr. Biden is our best chance. Seriously? I don't want justice. It's kind of like Biden when he said, we don't worry about the facts. We're more concerned with the truth. Well, Mr. Biden, you kind of have to have facts in order to establish a truth. Duh! These people, I'm telling you, man, just absolutely over-the-top freaking insane. And Nancy Pelosi, I'm satisfied with Biden's non-response to sexual allegations. Are you freaking kidding me? The liberals are just rewriting everything. They're rewriting history. What happened to the to Me Too? That we need to believe the women without question, unless it's a Democrat, and then, well, the women don't count. The victims don't count if the perpetrator is a Democrat. Oh my God, these people! I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, just makes me want to beat the snot out of somebody. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for tuning in this evening. I hope it's been insightful and informative and maybe even a little entertaining. Please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up, speak out, and let your voice be heard. For American Renegade, I'm Art Underground. Till next time, be safe out there. Hamstrap. Thanks for tuning in, man. Have a great one.
You're gonna make it, you're free.